You got something to be thankful for this morning? Anybody? You know, we ought to be all smiles today, knowing what Christ done for us. Yeah, we need that extra anointing, all right, but we need it bad right now. Jesus Christ is so good to us. Title of my message this morning is Loving Jesus All Over Again. A cornflake commercial several years ago says, try them again for the first time. Y'all remember that cornflake commercial? Try them again for the first time. Well, this is like falling in love with Jesus all over again. Usually I don't get to preach too many of my verses of scriptures that the Lord laid on my heart, so I just thought I'd just preach the whole Bible this morning. But the subject that I'm talking about this morning is the glory of God, and it goes through all the Bible. And I said, you know, you really ought to thank the Lord this morning for saving your soul. You ought to thank the Lord for making you whole. But do you realize that God gave you the glory of God lives inside of you right now? You're saved, born again, child of God. The glory lives in you right now. That same glory was in the Old Testament. That same glory come in the form of Jesus Christ. That same glory departed and went back to heaven, ascension. I'll tell you what, and at the right hand of God, and he said, I send a comforter. In that same glory of God, when someone saved, come to live inside that person, and I never depart from that person. Y'all understand that? I like to just tell you about this glory. The glory is one of the biggest subjects in the Bible. But glory and revival, the key is revival amongst God's people, because the glory of God here this day is among God's people and in God's people. Glory of God in the face of Jesus. And the key is revival is among God's people, not the people of the world, or not the people that's lost. And a lot of times a couple of sermons on revival time, be talking to the church, and then it'd be turned towards you, evangelism, and that's all right too, but revival is for God's people to be revived again. It's to live again. I mean, you got to be alive before that you can live again. And the Spirit of God that lives inside of us, we're all alive here this morning if you're saved. If you're not saved, you need to be saved before you leave this place today in Christ Jesus. But if you're saved, you have the living God. You're alive today, and you live forevermore. Not getting ahead of my sermon, but I'm going to tell you, you can't keep glory in a grave. Jesus Christ is the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means you and me. And the glory of God is Jesus Christ. And you know, they put Jesus Christ on the cross and they crucified Jesus Christ. But not only did they crucify Jesus Christ, they put him in a tomb. They put Jesus Christ, the glory of God, in a tomb. They rolled a stone upon the face of that tomb. But you see, 3 days later that Jesus Christ came out of that tomb. You know why? Because you can't keep glory in a tomb. You can't keep glory in a grave. And that same power that come to Jesus Christ and raised him from the dead, that same power that Jesus Christ says that they come to live within you. Well, you know what that tells me? That tells me that they can't. That old death can't keep me in the grave either. And I'm telling you, because I got the glory of God lives inside of me. They call it the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost of God, the glory of God. And I'm telling you what, you can't keep God in a grave. You can't keep God in a tomb. You can't keep God in a grave, because the glory of God is going back to heaven. We see two times of departure. Now I'm fixing to give you some scripture now. Two times of departure that the glory of God was on this earth and went back to heaven. In Old Testament time, we know the glory of God was in the cloud. The glory of God came down upon mankind to do what God had for a special person to do. And then the glory of God departed because of disobedience to the nation of Israel, went back to heaven. And I'm preaching my sermon before I ever get to it. In 700 years, there was no glory on this earth. For 26 and 700 years, there was no glory. 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, that's why 400 years they called the dark times. Heaven was shut up. Not a sound of God to mankind. Listen, without God today, you know what? Him revealing himself to you, you cannot know God. It's like you was born in a box and there's no way for you to get out of your box. You can't inspect this world. You can't get out of the box. You can't dig a hole in the box. You can't climb out of the box. There's no way that you can find out about this world around you. There's no way you can find out this God. You're in a box. Jesus Christ had to come down in your box and reveal himself to you, or you would not know God. You would not know the glory of God. And the glory of God came down to mankind. And we find that God chose a group of people. The glory of God was upon the face of this earth. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, you know what? The glory of God, the Holy Spirit of God, moved upon the face of the deep. And you said, you know what? There was light. And light separated the darkness from the night. And they called that day. And they called it night. I'm going to tell you, you was darkened in your sin and your trespasses and sin. But then there was a light come to you. And there was the glory of God that shined in your darkened light to give you life, that you might have life forevermore. And loving Jesus all over again, because he is the glory of God. The glory of God. In this verse of scripture we're going to read this morning, is to see about this glory. Glory is mentioned over 400 times in the Bible. Glory. Glory is an outward manifestation of an inward reality. Here today, if we want to have glory, there's glory in us today. There's glory in every child of God here this day. But we need an outward manifestation of the inward glory that we have today. We say for God to come down in glory. God's already here. God's already in us. But we need a fresh anointing, as you sung that song, Brother Orville. Revival, I'm going to tell you, is a new experience of the presence of God upon God's people. We've never needed, I don't believe, in the country as bad as we need it now, in the lives of people, in God's people. And that is the presence of God. Without the presence of God, there will be no revival. No man can bring a revival. No man can preach up a revival. No matter what you do, God has got to come on the scene. They got to be a presence of God. When the presence of God becomes on the scene, no matter it's in a family, a group of people, it's a church or a nation or whatever it might be, there's glory. When God's on the scene, there's glory, glory, glory. And I tell you, that's what we need to think about today, the glory. There was glory in the Old Testament. There's two words that goes together in the Old Testament. That's glory and revival. We hit the New Testament. There's three words that goes together. Glory, revival, and Jesus Christ. So let's look for just a moment now in 2 Corinthians 4 and 6 and see what God has said. For God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, have shined into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the glory of Jesus Christ. That, Father, we just pray, God, you might fill this building as you used to in the Holy Book. Lord, we just pray, God, that, Lord, the clouds of glory will come down, Lord, that we might be able to feel the glory of God. Lord, we know we have the glory of God in us. But Father, we're praying for the glory of God to be manifested, Lord, starting this hour, if it have not already started in the lives of your people. Father, this week and this coming week and the weeks after and the weeks that follows and the months and the years, God, that the glory fill this building, because God's people, Lord, having a manifestation of the glory within comes with the glory without, that people might see and understand. There's things are changed when the glory of God is on the scene. When we let the inward glory shine with the outward glory, God, that people knows, and I'm going to tell you, people are changed and souls are saved and people begin to get right with God. It's God's people that needs to get right. We need a great glory meeting this day. We need a meeting of our repentance today. You say, we need repentance. That's God's people, the one that come to church on Sunday morning. Yes, every one of us here today, I'm sure, needs to repent and come closer to God and let the glory of God shine in their heart, that people might know and understand that God is on the scene here this day. Boy, we pray for Brother Richie for this revival, but God, we pray to you, Jesus, that you might speak through your man of the hour, that he might speak the words of wisdom and the words of glory, God, that we may understand what really revival is all about. Father, we thank you. We ask you, Lord, for the far scenes of this service, oh God, that you might take charge here this morning. Father, I pray you might take charge of my lips and my thoughts this hour. Father, I pray that I might preach from the overflow of my heart, God, that I'm studied for hours here on this subject of glory. Father, the glory of my glory, Father, that you put inside of me, oh God, might be manifested today. And the glory you put in God's people might be manifested today, that we may have a glorious meeting, Lord, with our glorious God. Father, for this great blessing that you want to bless us with today. And we thank you and praise you in the precious and the holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. Well, this glory now, this glory, as I said, revival goes together. We see first God's glory, you know, in the Old Testament times of God's glory in the Exodus of Egypt. Whenever the glory of God's cloud came down by fire and by light to guide the people in the wilderness at that time. The glory. What was that light for? And what was that pillar of cloud for? It was for protection and also for direction. It protected them. The Red Sea, when they come down to the Red Sea and all the, we have all those chariots behind them. They come to that Red Sea and they couldn't cross the Red Sea. They had mountains on each side of them. They had the Red Sea in front of them. They had Pharaoh's army with all the chariots back of them and thought that it's all going to be killed. But what happened? The glory cloud of God came down for protection and they could not go between that glory cloud of God. God opened up that Red Sea and the glory of God was shown out to all the children of the nation of Israel that time, 2.5 million, and they walked across on dry land. They had protection. And then guidance, they had the guidance all through the wilderness journey. That cloud and that fire, they guided them. That was the presence of God. They did not move unless the presence of God was on their life, and they knew that that's what it was for there, that glory cloud and also that fire. Well, you know, the United States, well, you know what? We are a nation, and the glory of God shine upon this nation as much as more as ever shined on the nation of Israel and give us all the great blessings in this country. We are a nation that the glory of God is the reason that we won the wars of our country. The glory of God protects us, reason we don't have bombs already fell on our country. The glory of God has protected this country more than any of our military ever thought about protecting this country, and it came from the praying people, the people that knows Jesus Christ for that protection, because the glory of God was on this nation. And I'm telling you what, when the glory of God is lifted from a nation just like it was the nation of Israel, departed, they're going to be trouble because there's not enough of all the military in the world to keep the evil out when God's glory lifts from a nation. It's the same thing when God's glory lifts from a church, or God's glory is lifted from an individual, or God's glory is lifted from a family and they quit serving Jesus Christ and the glory is gone, there's going to be trouble because there's no protection and no guidance for that person at that day. What happened to them? The glory had departed. The nation Israel, because they disobeyed God and the glory departed. Israel, I mean, went into the wilderness and they went into a new land and God protected them. After a while, they disobeyed God and the glory departed. Yes, God guided them all through the glory days of the wilderness journey. God guided them. They come up to the Jordan River. You know, same thing. The glory of God departed that Jordan River and they walked across that Jordan River. In the book of Joshua, for 25 years, they had battles in that land that flowed with milk and honey. It's called Canaan Land. They won battles. It was impossible for any place to anybody to win, but they won these battles because the glory of God was there for protection and to guide them. But pretty soon they disobeyed God, as we doing today, as our country is disobeying God. I'm going to tell you, our nation is disobeying God. Not only that, our churches are disobeying God. They're looking for easy believism. They're looking for someone on the television to tell you and grin. Television, and they call himself Mr. TV, and millions of people think he's the greatest man in the world, think he's the greatest thing there, and all of his books and all of his tapes and all that, thousands of people there that joins his church, they think he's something else. But I'm going to tell you what, he won't tell you the truth. He'll tell you something that sounds like the truth, but it's easy convenientism. And I'm going to tell you what, when you believe what they say, you're going to a place, and that place is a darkened place today. It's disobeying the word of God. And what happened when we disobey the word of God? The glory departs. In 1 Samuel 4:21 says, the glory is departed from Israel. I'm going to tell you that that's a sad experience when the glory of God's departed. We see the glory in the Old Testament and in emergencies, in the wilderness of that old glory. Because you see, when they went out into that wilderness for 40 years, they thirst. They was out there with no water. And the glory come of God's come. And he says, you know what? Moses smite that rock and that rock give water. That was a glory of God through Jesus Christ. That smoting rock give them them living water to drink at that time. But you know, after a while, they got hungry. Whenever they got hungry, God said, well, you just send manna down. They don't have to plow. They don't have to plant. All they have to do is pluck up, and they have manna to eat that's satisfying food. But after a while, they got complaining about the water. They got complaining about the hunger, and God sent that old serpent snakes to bite them, and they was dying by the thousands. Moses, he says, and the glory of God come down, and the people saw that snake that Moses made, that old brass serpent on a pole, and just one look is all it took. And all we see today, that whenever they disobey God, they grumble and complain, as a lot of Christians do today. I'm going to tell you, when you get cold and indifferent, they people was in the wilderness, they begin to grumble and complain. And that's what a lot of Christians today, and you can't have revival when people's grumbling and complaining, and they find the fault trying to find some area in a church that they don't like, some group of people not doing this, not doing that. You'll never have revival when grumbling and complaining. You'll never see the glory of God until God begins to come down and sort out that type of stuff, and you fall in love with Jesus Christ all over again. That's what we're having in our country today. But our country can also look back, as the nation of Israel look back and see the glory of what God has done for this country, and what God not only done for this country, but what God has done for this church. But not what only God has done for this church, but what God has done for some family members that's sitting here right now this day. Are you serving God like you ought to? Are you letting the glory of God in your life shine out like you ought to? What God has done for us this day, as we look back, we see the glory of God on the Old Testament time of His enthronement in the tabernacle, also in the temple. The tabernacle was completed like God said it was completed, and the glory of God came down. Fire fell, and the glory filled that place. It was the presence of Almighty God. When the people of all the people saw that, they fell upon their faces and begin to worship and praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you what, when the glory falls at this church, when the glory falls, and you know what, for you and I today, when the glory comes down, we'll have revival, because you know what will happen? The presence of God will show up. I'm going to tell you, the inward glory that we have in each one of us will start being outward formed, and people will know what's happening to us today, and there will be a glory, and you won't have to tell people you need to come. They'll be here before the service is over. They'll pour out across this auditorium here, their faces upon the dirt, and they'll be worshiping God. That's what we need to have today. These people, it says, they worship God. They fell on their faces and begin to worship and praise the Lord God Almighty. Glory in the exit from the nation of Israel, though, when they disobeyed God. Ezekiel saw the glory as it departed off the mercy seat. The mercy seat was the onlyest place in the whole world that a God of the universe, and He was going to come down to mankind. Nowhere else on this whole world, all the nation of people all around the world, no matter where they at or how many millions they was at that time, they did not have the presence of God. Only God decided, I'll take a handful of people and I'll make myself known to that group of people. And that group of people were called the Israelites. That group of people that God chose, were they better than any other nation of people? Not on your life was they any better. God made the difference. I'll ask you this hour, are you better than anybody else that's lost today? The people here, are you any better than anybody else that's lost and undone and don't know Jesus Christ? You are not better than anybody. It says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm going to tell you, when God enters into our hearts, God makes the difference on a person. And the same thing with the nation of Israel, God made the difference. And the same thing, this nation that you and I live in today, that God made the difference of the United States. We're not God's pets here in this country. It's because that we honored God, because we had God in our schools. We had a Bible on the teacher's desk, and we could pray at school time. We had the Ten Commandments on the wall. We had something that we can be looking forward to. But I want to tell you, when everything left, when God's kicked out of a country and the throne of God has been tumbled down, and the idols of this country now has got other idols set up in place of God, you can't do this for Christianity. You can't do that for Christianity, but you can raise up any other old types of God you want to, and everybody's all right and cheering along. When that happens, you'll see the same thing happen in this country, and I think it has already happened. I'm going to tell you, the glory of God was going to depart from the United States of America. The glory of God departed from this nation of Israel. Ezekiel saw the Holy of Holies. He saw the holy cloud as it filled that tabernacle if it was first erected, but after they disobeyed God, he saw the Holy of God leave the mercy seat. That's where God met with mankind. Only this place in the universe, only this place in the world that God met with man is on a little small cubit gold seat called there the chest. And that chest was where he met with that. But God left that holy place. He left that mercy seat in that little square building called the Holies of Holies that the high priest could only go in once a year and then only with blood. But he saw the glory of cloud leave that mercy seat, leave that Holy of Holy. Ezekiel saw that thing begin to leave. He went there and he went to the threshold and went under the door of that threshold of that temple and then out through the Mount of Olives and went back to heaven. At that time, the glory of God departed from that nation. Now, I'm going to tell you, heaven was shut up and there's nothing that mankind can cause God to come down till God gets ready to come down. And then for 700 years, the nation of Israel had no glory to guide them and protect them. But the same God in the universe said, I tell you, Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy. I tell you, Isaiah, I want you to prophesy that the glory of God will come back. In Ezekiel 43, verses 4 and 5, it says, Ezekiel, the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect towards the east. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner courts. Behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. That's a prediction that the glory is going to come back one day. And then it says in Isaiah, prophesy Isaiah. And Isaiah chapter 22 and 23 says, and I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house, and they shall hang upon him all the glory of the Father. This is talking about Jesus Christ coming back one day. In that day, said the Lord of hosts, shall the nail that is fastened in a sure place, talking about Jesus Christ, be removed and cut down, the first and second coming of Jesus Christ, and shall fall, and the burden that was upon it shall be cut off, from the Lord has spoken it. Revival, I'm going to tell you, and glory goes together. But I'm going to tell you, revival and glory in Jesus goes together in the New Testament. Isaiah said that Jesus Christ was going to come back. Jesus Christ is going to come one of these days, and he did. I'm going to tell you, it'll be a manifestation of the glory of God when the presence of God with all the splendor is going to come one day. The Old Testament prophets began to prophesy all those 700 years that Jesus Christ was going to come back, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Now, the godly children of Israel, they begin to pray now that they would bring back that glory. They'd bring back that glory. Can you imagine now 700 years, not a word from God? 700 years, not the glory of God is there. Can you imagine? No, you cannot imagine, but I could just give you a slight example. You saved here today. Would you take anything for your salvation? What if you could give your salvation up? What if God was to withdraw your salvation? Of course, he won't, because he promised he would never leave you nor forsaken you. He promised you there's no way that you can ever get rid of your salvation. God is in his hands and he holds you tight this day. But if you can imagine that you could give up your salvation now for 30 minutes, can you give up your salvation now for 30 days? That's what it means, the glory of God departed. How empty that you would be, how lonely that you would be if you could just get rid of your salvation for just a little while. Can you just imagine what you would be like today without God? No, you can't have that concept. You can't imagine what it would be in that condition. You know, you have forgotten, a lot of us forgot how it is to be lost. We never did understand very much about being lost to start with, but can you imagine without the glory of God? Can you imagine without salvation? Can you imagine losing what the glory of God give you? Well, they had lost that. They could lose that Old Testament because the Spirit of God did not come and dwell inside mankind. He come upon people to do certain tasks and then he lift himself again. But now they had been gone for about 700 years. Now what happened? Well, the godly children of Israel, they began to pray that the glory would come back. We miss it so bad. You know what's wrong with us today? We don't miss the glory of God in our country today. We do not miss the glory of God in this country. We do not look back from our forefathers and see how God has blessed this country and blessed churches and blessed nation and blessed people and blessed family and our community and our churches, and we don't long for that time again. We don't long for the fellowship of God. don't long for a good old-fashioned revival. We don't long for a crying out of God. Oh, God, help me, oh, God. I'm further away than I realized I was. We don't realize what we're really missing today. We need an old-fashioned, I'm going to tell you, a sin-killing revival today, a mourner's beast revival today. But we're too dignified in our place today to really understand what we need today. And not only here, but across our nation in families today, we need to cry out to God to bring back the glory of God, because families are falling apart. I'm going to tell you, there's sickness that's getting your attention. I'm going to tell you what, there's people now don't have jobs. And on our country today, I'm going to tell you, it's in terrible, terrible condition. What do we need? We need the glory of God. Oh, but we need the glory of God so bad in our country. As you think about the nation of Israel, they begin to pray. Now, if you're going to be committed to pray for our revival, you're one of the people that's going to be praying for the glory of God to come back. Same thing. Same thing if you're praying for God. God bring back the glory. God bring us revival. In the New Testament, we find there was two persons, people that's looking for that revival. Two people looking for the glory. You remember old Simeon? Simeon, you know, he was at the temple and he was expecting every little old boy to come through, every little Jewish boy to come by. He'd pick him up in his arm and say, God, is that him? God said, no, that's not him. He would just stay there as an old man now. And God said he would not depart till he saw the salvation of the Lord, that he saw the redemption of Israel. Every child will come to that temple there for purification. You know what? He'd look at that child and he'd look at that child's face and said, is this the child? God says, no, that's not the child. And then one day Jesus Christ come on the scene. Is this the child? God says, this is the child. And he saw the glory of God. And then Anna, same way, was waiting for the redemption of Israel. You see, that every generation is a remnant of God's people is asking God to bring back the glory. Do we have a remnant of people here this day is asking for a revival to bring back the glory? If you've been praying and we'll pray for revival, you one that's been asking to bring back the glory of God. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ, you know, in Revelation, the glorified God walking through his churches, those seven churches of Asia Minor, he comes to the church of Laodicea. Laodicea, you know, they was a busy church. I mean, they was doing this and they was doing that. But he said, you know what, you are lukewarm. You're just a lukewarm church. And why was they lukewarm? He said, because you have left your first love. They was indifferent to the love for the Lord Jesus Christ. They was working and they was laboring, but they was not loving. Fall in love with Jesus Christ all over again. Jesus Christ says, I got somewhat against you, Laodicean, because you have left your first love. He might say here this day, I got somewhat against you, Pleasant Hill, because you left your first love. I'm going to tell you, it's not recording in the book of the Bible in Revelation when he went to that church. And he did not say, Laodicean, I got somewhat against you, Laodicean, because you see, you're not tithing like you ought to. You got a bunch of people in your churches, but they're giving, but they're certainly not tithing at 10% that comes into their income. He could say that I got that against you. And he could say that, you know, we have visitation, but you're not visiting like you ought to. He says, you know what, I got something against you. You're not praying. You're not on your knees praying like you should be praying. You're not reading and studying your Bible. You're not coming to Sunday school. You're not coming to Wednesday night. You're not teaching your kids or your grandkids to come to Wednesday night. He says, you know what, you're not really giving to the missionaries as you should be giving to the missionaries. He says, you know what, I got somewhat against you. But he did not say all those things. He just said one thing. I got something against you. You've left your first love. Because when you fall back in love with Jesus Christ, everything and more that I mentioned, all your tithing, all everything else I mentioned, is going to come in like it should come in. Once you fall in love with Jesus Christ, that's the reason he said to that church of Laodicea, just one thing. He didn't name a bunch of things I just named and more, 10,000 more things that you and I do, don't do, should do. He just named one thing. You don't love me like you used to love me. If you love Jesus Christ like you used to love Jesus Christ, all these things and more will be taken care of. And that's what Jesus Christ said. And then he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice, I'll open that door, I'll come in. You know what? We'll have supper time together. Now, he did not say everybody at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. He did not say half of them at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. He just said if one person. Y'all read that in the book of Revelation. any man, any person, any woman, just one person, anybody's here this day, I'm knocking on your door. If any one of you, any one of you, child, man or woman, young or old, I'm knocking on your door. If any person, only takes one to start a revival. Any person. He says, you know, if you'll open my door, I'll come in and we'll have revival. Just any one of you. Are you willing to do that? Not everybody, but any one of you. Glory, revival, and Jesus goes together. I'm telling you. Now, Jesus' disciples, they knew the glory of God was there whenever they walked with Jesus Christ, the same. They heard him. They was aware of the presence of God. God's glory is also better to be seen when you put a face on it. In Hebrews, Jesus Christ said, the brightness of God's glory. And John said, we behold his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, 100% man, 100% God. But all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. Now it's about time for me to be over with. Now I'm getting into my sermon. The first one, glory in his incarnation. Glory in Jesus Christ's incarnation. He became a man. Ezekiel saw the glory depart. Been there all that time, been away. But now there was no glory. Now heaven declared the glory of God. They saw it in the glory work of heaven, but they didn't have it there where they could see it. Only the glory in creation. There was a night now, we find out, in Jesus Christ, when the shepherds out there, a little town of Bethlehem, feeding in the field of Boaz, feeding, tending the sheep. But the angel appeared to them, and the glory of God shone round about the angels that night, and told them, a Savior shall be born in Bethlehem. And they went to Mary and Joseph in a manger, and they looked in the face of glory, those shepherds did. It had come back to earth again in a baby form. In the Old Testament, they saw the glory in a cloud. But in the New Testament, they seen the glory in a cradle. Jesus Christ had come back, wrapped in swaddling clothes. We see the glory in all the miracles that Jesus Christ done as he began to walk through the New Testament pages now. I'm going to tell you, the miracle now for our sickness and our disability, there's always a pool of Bethesda that sets you down in and for your sicknesses. And the satisfaction and desire that we have, Jesus always able to feed, even as he fed the 5,000. And then the peace and despair that we have, he always able to calm the sea, no matter what type of sea that you're standing on. And the blinded eyes that cannot see, he's always give the light for the darkness to open our eyes. And then for the death that we have, the miracle of death, there's a Lazarus. And this Lazarus says, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. Singing glory, glory, glory to his name. I'm telling you, that's the glory of God this day. Loving all over again. We see the glory in his crucifixion. Jesus Christ came, died on the cross to reveal the love of God, paid for the sin, the death pen of everybody in this world. The Bible says, you know what? God, Jesus Christ, you know what? Proved this love, willing to die on the cross of Calvary this day. But you see, always grace. There's always suffering. Glory goes with that too. Suffering and glory always goes together. And we find Luke 24 and 26 says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Yes, they're always suffering. You're going to have a revival. I'm going to tell you, at this church or any other church, if you're going to have revival in your family, if you're going to have revival in your personal life, that somebody has got to be willing to suffer for it. They got to be some suffering for it. Religion of convenience is no glory, as I'm telling you, as I showed you on television, as you look on television. Religion with convenience has no glory on it. It's going to cause suffering today. Somebody has got to be willing to pay the price. Somebody's got to be willing to be able to pray. Somebody's got to do the visiting. Somebody's got to get serious with God. John 12 and 23 says, and Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Save me from this hour, Jesus Christ said. But then he also said, Father, glorify thy name. There's two possibilities. Save me from this hour or either glorify thy name. He made that decision to go to the cross. I'm going to tell you, God's glory is not in a cloud, but now it's on a cross. All the love that drew salvation planned, all the grace that brought it down to man, oh, the mighty gift that God that spanned at Calvary, now glory is on a cross. Romans 5 and 8 says, God commends his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Never doubt the love of God. Look at the cross of Jesus Christ. And then we see, you know, the glory in his resurrection. We see the glory in his resurrection. Buried, as I said, in a tomb. But I'm going to tell you, death cannot keep Jesus Christ in a tomb. Why, Jesus Christ, the same power that raised Jesus Christ up, the same glory that raised Jesus Christ up, you have that glory today, and that same power raised you up. Jesus Christ died, conquered death, in order that you and I may not be conquered by death. Jesus Christ done that for us. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I have a tomorrow. I'm going to tell you, it's in glory with Jesus Christ, the same power. John 17 and 22 also says, and the glory which have gave me, I have give them, that they may be one even as we are one. That same power, that same grace, that same glory I have given to them. His glory is great in thy salvation. I want to tell you, we got some things await for us today. The believer awaits a glorious revelation that Jesus Christ is going to reveal himself to us in the rapture, or either we know at the time that he's going to call us all home. But you see, we got a glorious waiting there for the revelation. He's going to reveal himself to us. But believer waits, I'll tell you, on this glorious resurrection. We're going to have a glorious resurrection one day, and we're going to be like him. The Bible, I ain't got time to go through all the scripture, but the Bible says we're going to be like Jesus Christ. The believer waits this destination, that place in glory. You know, one of these days it said that we're going to have this glory. We're going to be full of glory. How are we going to be when we get to heaven? I don't know. We shall be like him. How is that going to be? We're going to have glorified body. We're going to see the glorified Lord and the glorified heaven, and everything's going to be glorious up there in heaven. We're going to walk down the glorified road called the streets of gold. We're going to see Jesus Christ in that glorified body. And I'm going to tell you what, we're going to have a glorified body. And heaven is a place, a real place, and it's going to be a glorious place because Jesus Christ is there. But not only that, as I hurry on here, I see that Jesus Christ also, we find out the glory in his exaltation. That means he went back to heaven. Whenever Jesus Christ went back to heaven, Psalm says, as he went back to heaven, he says, now, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, your everlasting door, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, everlasting door. The King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is a King of glory. Today, I'm going to tell you this: glory, glory, glory. If you want a revival, I'm going to tell you it's going to be revival. It's going to be because of the glory of God meets with God's people. And the glory of God that we have in us right now because of salvation is going to make the outer relation that God has really saved us, and people are going to know that. Revival experience the presence of Jesus Christ, and that's falling in love with him all over again. The church at Ephesus, you have left your first love. I'd like to ask you here this morning, as they come with a song of invitation, have there ever been a time in your life that you love Jesus Christ more than you love him right now? Have there ever been a time in your life that you love Jesus Christ more than right now? Or that time that you served him more, time that you're willing to give more, time of your attendance more, time of everything more? Has there ever been a time? Has there ever been a time that you was very faithful to him in his church? Was there a time that you certainly was mind giving your 10% like you should, and even more on beyond that? Was there a time that you made sure that your family, your kids was there at the church? Was you made sure that your family and your relative and your loved ones and your grandkids was there? Was there ever a time? It was there ever a time when you loved him more than you love him now? If not, you know what he says? I got somewhat against you. I wonder if he's talking to me tonight, this morning, as we stand and sing.